Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, asking for your help during this Lenten and Easter season. Support from our listeners is vital and allows us to bring you and many others high-quality spiritual programs like the one you are listening to now. It also assists us in our outreach to areas around the globe, touching literally millions of souls via the World Wide Web. Our highly rated free Discerning Hearts app allows you to access over 1,000 audio files as well as video content now available on our expanding YouTube channel. The heart of our mission is to help foster authentic spiritual formation for the seeking soul so they can fully encounter the living Christ and share in His mission of healing hearts and spreading the good news to the world. Please, won't you help us to continue this important work of evangelization by donating today to discerninghearts.com. DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Welcome, Monsignor Essef.
Thank you, Chris. It's such a joy to share with you the days of the Paschal Mysteries. These mysteries go on in every baptized, confirmed soul. If you are listening, this is not something of a historical event, which was an historical event. That is that Jesus suffered on the cross, was crucified and nailed to the cross, and died on that day that we call Friday, that is Good Friday, because that was the salvation of our souls. He suffered and he died, and he was dead. It didn't appear as if he was dead. He was dead, and the soldier's lance pierced his heart, and out of his heart came blood and water. These symbols of our baptism, so that we emerged from the side of Christ, that is the church, you and me, united to him as Adam and Eve, that Eve came forth from the side of Adam, the old Adam, and now this new Adam, which he is called Jesus, and the new Eve, which is the church, the mother of all the living. So now we are united with him in this intimacy, in communion, so that he suffered and died and rose in the year 33. We now are living his life in this year 2012, and the church is paying particular attention to it, and we are searching the scriptures and saying, how is this happening to me in my life now? And that has been the whole kind of gist of our contemplations. How what is happening to me in my life happened to him. And this divine life, the suffering and death of Jesus, is going on in each one of us. So as we relate to God, our Father, doing his will, and to one another, sharing the burden of the cross and bearing our cross, each one, that we are living the Paschal Mystery. This particular day, Good Friday, and the event that I would like to center on would be the relationship of Mary to Jesus, and Jesus to Mary, and Jesus to us. And in the Gospel of John, which is read on Good Friday, there is this, in the 19th chapter, John's Gospel. Near the cross of Jesus there stood his mother. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clophas, and Mary Magdalene, seeing his mother there with the disciple whom he loved, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, there is your son." In turn, he said to the disciple, "There is your mother." From that hour on, the disciple took her into his care. All spiritual writers tell us that Jesus, in dying, gave his mother to the church, not only to John the disciple, but to you and to me as our mother. So Mary becomes the mother of the church. Mary becomes our heavenly mother. So what she is going to be in relationship to John, and John to her, becomes this relationship between you and Mary, and myself and Mary. So that as Mary is looking up at the cross and seeing her son dying, that's her son, she now turns her eyes and looks at John. And now here is Jesus by her side, so that these two now become mother and child. There's a story that is told by Archbishop Sheen, whose cause is being promoted for canonization, in one of his homilies about soldiers, and I believe it's true, in almost all battlefields. When soldiers are dying, the moaning and the call around the battlefield of dying men is, "Mom, Mom." As a soldier dies, he calls for his mother. Here is Jesus dying, and he gives his mother away. That particular interpretation of this text, that Jesus, who gave all, does not call for his mother to come to him, but rather he gives his mother to his disciples. So this great treasure that he had, his mother, the mother of Jesus, shows the depth of his love for us by giving us his mother. And each of us who has this relationship, notice the prayer that we most frequently have with Mary when we ask her to be with us now and at the hour of our death. So that Mary is used to and wants to be, as she was right there on Calvary, with her child. Now the relationship there with Mary, that is so important that I would like to just point it out. He dies, closes his eyes in death, and as she stands there, she sees this soldier take the spear and push it through his side. And he, and immediately, one of the soldiers ran a lance into his side, and immediately there came blood and water flowing out. This testimony, John says, is given by an eyewitness. And his testimony is true. His mother sees this. His mother holds this in her immaculate heart. As she stands there while he's dead and completely now totally given over, She's waiting for his body. They take him down from the cross, and it's immortalized in the Pietà. And in Michelangelo's Pietà, if you think of that scene, the body of Jesus now laid again in the lap of Mary, a flashback to Christmas, her newborn baby, innocent, laying in her lap, now her dead child. And they predicted that he would be a sign of contradiction. And he was. And now he's dead. And now she's holding her dead son. As just to contemplate that. What is in her heart? The pondering in the heart of Mary. It's very important. See, all the disciples have run away. Now here, if Mary, she is the church and the link, the only one now. Jesus is dead. And for these hours that he's dead, and for this time between being taken down from the cross and Easter, the only one who believes with unshaken faith is Mary. She remains completely and totally loyal to God. He said he would rise. How he's going to do that? What's going to happen? All those questions of mystery. They lay him in the tomb. And all during that night, having his bloody garments, which she then takes home after she has seen and pondered the crucifixion and the death of her son. Now all she has is his dead garments. And so here is what I would call the church in hope. Very often in our day, what we really need is that same spirit of Mary. When all seems lost and all seems completely dead, and the only thing we have is hope. For us now in the church today, if it's for in each of our lives, there has come that time where it could have easily turned to despair. It did for Judas, and he went out and hung himself. It did for the disciples, and they all scattered and ran. Only one remained faithful. And so when we contemplate this period of time between that 3 o'clock hour on Friday, laying him in the tomb, and then all day Saturday, as he is there dead. And so when we think of the burial and the death, the 13th station of the cross, where they take him down and lay him in the arms of his mother, and the 14th station, where they lay him in the tomb, this is a very important time in each of our lives. When all is apparently lost, there are so many of us on this Holy Saturday. There are so many of us who we look at our lives and we seem to think that everything is lost. And yet, in each of our hearts, there is hope. There is trust that God is going to do something with what appears to be an apparent failure. You've just come home from a failure at school, and you tried and you tried and you failed. You've just come home and you've been fired. You struggled and struggled, and you failed. Even if you just came home from a basketball game, and you struggled and struggled, and you lost. All the kinds of things that we have in our hearts. A failed marriage. A failed courtship. I'm going to be meeting with this woman who has a struggle against cancer in which it seems to have failed. All the kinds of things that people look at and are apparently, it's over, it's completed, it's lost. In the midst of that is Mary, that sign of great hope that there is going to be the resurrection. What I wanted to build, what I wanted to succeed, what I experienced in failure, so that actually Holy Saturday is so important in the life of every Christian. Those hours, those days, those weeks, that time. Not when you get the new job. Not when you have the doctor say, your cancer is gone. No, it's now, in the midst of the mystery of failure, that you place this total hope and trust in God, as Mary did. God will be faithful to his word. Mother Teresa used to say, we are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. Here's where the Christian, like Mary, in union with her immaculate heart, trusts, hopes, continues to believe in the apparent death and total destruction of everything we had hoped for. The two disciples on their way to Emmaus were dejected. We had hoped he was the one. Now all is lost. So that the risen Lord, when he appeared to them, now they're lifted up. No. There are so many days in each of our lives, if we are going to live fully the Paschal mystery, our heart is going to be like Mary's. And so, you know, you might be a brother priest who is now been silenced by your bishop, and you're asked to go away and to get some treatment before you're going to be reinstated. And you feel like your life is a failure. It's not. God is in this with you. Like Mary, with Mary, you hope and you trust that God is going to take this apparent humiliation and going to bring this new life, not the one you thought and wanted to have, but new life, a new and something you had not even dreamed about, and it will be great. And you continue to hope and trust in it. As you look at your failure in your academic career, and as you look at what you had wanted to do in this new business venture, and there's bankruptcy sets in, and you've lost your house, and you've lost your credit, and you stand here, and you see and believe in your heart, with Mary, God is not going to leave you here. He is with you in this apparent failure. And so this lesson of Good Friday of death and of hope is really carried out in no other disciple. All of the other disciples have run. Only Mary remains faithful. And I see her in our day, especially her Immaculate Heart. When she says in her Immaculate Heart at Fatima, at Medjugorje, that trust her Immaculate Heart will triumph. The nations look like they're in such darkness. People are talking about the end of the world because we have this enormous power to blow ourselves up with all this nuclear power, that the Iranians are developing nuclear arms, the North Koreans have nuclear power, and there's a nuclear exchange that might go off, and we have actually a potential to blow ourselves up in this world. And in the midst of the darkness of this enormous, dark, dark power of a man's capacity, not so much to have God destroy us, but ourselves destroying ourselves, Mary is here. She is the hope of the world. Her Immaculate Heart said, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph." And every single child of God at this time, during this year, no matter how dark it may get, trusts, hopes, knows with her that there will be a resurrection and a new life.
Monsignor, do we live a good portion of our life in a Holy Saturday type of moment?
I think some of it, you know, some of it is in resurrection. Some of it is in suffering. And suffering and, you know, reaching out with hope that this particular treatment will help, or this this new job or whatever is going to provide for us. But there are times in each of our lives when we do have these moments, and I think they should be part of every Christian life. He actually died, and at those dark, dark times when Jesus isn't suffering, but he's actually dead. And I just think of those hours that I would spend outside of the tomb, and I would call those the Holy Saturday mystery. And all of us have those times. I wouldn't want to exaggerate them. You know, I know in my life how many hours I've had like that and moments. I've had them. I've tasted them, and things look so bleak and so dark, and it's easy to despair. And the devil is extremely active in these times. I usually call them the four D's that lead to and have been led by the evil one. One is desolation, which comes into every life. You may not this Holy Saturday only be in desolation. You may be also in discouragement. That's another D, and that's further down. Or you may be in depression, which is further down. Or you may go to despair. That's the D. That's the really bad one.
Mm. When you were speaking about that experience, especially in waiting with the Blessed Mother, I couldn't help, Monsignor, but think of Mother Teresa and her experience. They say that was written in her spiritual journal that she experienced that period where Jesus wasn't as present to her as he seem to be in the beginning of her ministry.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's exaggerated. I don't know who gave that interpretation that she was in that darkness. John of the Cross, Mother Teresa, every spiritual person has experienced that. And we do. And you will. And I will. Mm-hmm. Now, that darkness is not despair. But that darkness can be, and you may, while listening to this, be in depression. Or you may be discouraged. Or may you be in desolation. All of that. But the one thing that hope keeps us from is despair. And that's why I would see Our Lady as so important as Mother of Hope. And especially in our day. And I would encourage you to develop this devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And she says at Fatima, and she repeats it often at Medjugorje, the Immaculate Heart will triumph. She will triumph. Now, what does that mean? My son did. See, every single Christian knows that in the end, there is resurrection. Although there are these dark times, and it doesn't seem as if it's going to happen.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.